On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Governor Evers says the third emergency rule that went into effect last week will help slow the surge of COVID-19 cases. Field Hospital will be activated this week. Evers explaining the situation Tuesday.
Here's the deal, folks. Our hospital systems are not invulnerable either. Our healthcare systems are teetering.
Republican lawmakers say the new order is unenforceable until approved by the legislature. How do you want the governor and state lawmakers to address the threat of COVID? What do you want to know about emergency rule number three? We're at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, and he co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, let's start with this emergency order that the Evers administration announced last week, limiting capacity on public spaces. What did the governor say about issuing this order?
You heard him talk about the hospital capacity in the state, for one, because you've seen hospitalizations for COVID-19 continue to rise in the state. The Hospital Association had said recently that, you know, if we don't change something in this state, those numbers are going to continue to get worse. And, you know, hospitals are struggling in terms of staffing in some places to deal with that. And so that was one of the causes that he laid out, or one of the reasons that he laid out for doing this. That and the, ever-growing number of positive COVID-19 cases. And you have seen an increase in the number of deaths recently as well, connected to COVID-19 by the Department of Health Services. So that was the reasoning. And then as far as what he went after in this order, it's, fairly specific to certain types of businesses that would have like a capacity. So if you have a capacity of, say, let's, you know, a restaurant that has a capacity of 200, this order limits you to 25% of your capacity. So you could seat 50 in your restaurant as in the indoor section. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of break it down, practically speaking, it seems largely aimed at bars, restaurants, and smaller businesses like those.
Well, Republicans say that this rule is not enforceable. How is this order similar to the safer at home order struck down by the Supreme Court in May, the state Supreme Court?
It's nowhere near as sweeping as the safer at home order was back in, you know, March, and then renewed and then struck down on May 13th. It is similar in that it uses a similar portion of state laws, you know, of the state statutes. So the order was technically issued by Governor Evers, Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm. And recall that she was the person who issued the order, the safer at home orders, earlier this year that the state Supreme Court struck down. And at the time, the state Supreme Court said that she and, you know, the Evers administration had overstepped their authority, and that future orders like this needed to be promulgated as emergency rules and go through the legislature, essentially giving the legislature veto power over stuff like this. The Evers administration has said they don't have willing partners in the legislature. They floated a rule after Safer at Home was struck down, and it was rejected kind of in the media almost immediately. And so they said what they've done here with this rule is a very targeted order that uses a very specific piece of the law that the Supreme Court specifically left intact in its ruling, that lets the DHS restrict gatherings. So they're saying this is what we're doing here. We're restricting gatherings. That's all we're doing. And so they say that they would win in a court challenge, although that's anyone's guess.
We're talking with Sean Johnson. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. We're looking at the latest developments in state politics and the situation with COVID-19 in Wisconsin and the emergency rule. What questions do you have about the rule? What questions do you have about mask requirements? How else would you like the governor and state lawmakers to address the threat of COVID-19? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's take a call. Tom is joining us from Burlington this morning. Hi, Tom.
I understand that a mandate is a It's just a rule, but it can't be backed up by law. You need a law to back it up. And I don't understand, in Burlington here, our representative is Mr. Voss. We just buried we put a plaque on the library the other day for Barbara Ludwig. She died in January from this disease. And I don't understand why Mr. Voss can't get together with the governor and pass a law so that there's no, you go into some stores and they make fun of you for you're wearing a mask, and they almost spit in your face.
Tom, I want to pause there and ask Sean, you know, have there been any discussions between Speaker Voss and Governor Evers? Because Voss said last week that he would be open to conversation.
As far as I know right now, there have not been. Now, you know, they could have called one another on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. They could have done it privately, which is maybe what we wouldn't expect, given sort of the tension between the Speaker's office, the Senate Majority Leader's office, and the governor, where they send a lot of letters through the media, right? Like mm-hmm. they'll address this letter to the governor, to the Speaker, but who gets it first? The press. So you know, as far as I know, they haven't met. Speaker Voss requested a meeting with the governor, and he requested that this latest order be issued as a rule. But as far as I know, the governor's administration isn't looking to do that. And so you could have kind of a standoff here between the legislature and the governor, where they then send it to court.
Explain also the role of masks in this rule.
In this particular rule, the mask mandate is not included.
Okay.
And so the governor issued the mask mandate using a different law that grants emergency powers specifically to the governor. And that law is already in court. This was the law that was challenged by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative group. And the tricky thing with that one is that this law lets governors declare emergencies for up to 60 days. It lets a legislature extend or repeal those emergencies by simple majority votes. And so what's happened this year with that is that Governor Evers has used that law to declare public health emergencies on three occasions, once back in March, then again to declare the first mask mandate, and then again to declare the mask mandate extension. So it's totally separate from the law that he used, that his administration used, to limit gatherings at bars and restaurants last week. And in this one in particular, if the legislature didn't like the mask mandate, they could come in, do a simple majority vote, and reject it. But they have resisted calls to do that.
Going back to the emergency rule, how has the business community responded to the decreased capacity limits?
You know, it's going to be different depending on probably your community and mm-hmm. your business's situation, but there are definitely business groups and individual businesses who said it would be very difficult for them. I mean, it's been a challenging year for bars and restaurants and other businesses, no doubt, you know, between I guess everything that 2020 has thrown at them. But of course, earlier this year was difficult, and so they are not happy with it. You know, the Restaurant Association, Tavern League, groups like that.
WPR's Sean Johnson is our guide to the latest political developments. What do you think about the appealed ruling to stop absentee ballots from having an extra 6 days to be counted? Polls show a tight race in Wisconsin. Are you following the legal battles over voting, and what do you think about what the polls say? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A federal appeals court Thursday blocked a lower court's decision to extend the deadline for counting absentee ballots by 6 days in Wisconsin. And so if the ruling holds, absentee ballots will have to be delivered to clerks by 8 o'clock in the evening on Election Day. What questions do you have about what this means for our swing state? What do you think about election procedural changes coming down less than a month from Election Day. Join in 800-642-1234. We have Sean Johnson, who is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, and he's our guide. So, Sean, let's look at absentee deadline. The deadline for when absentee ballots need to be returned, you know, that ruling has been appealed and it seems to have gone back and forth. What is the latest here?
The latest is that after the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruled last week in a 2-1 decision, Wisconsin's deadlines are going to be what they were before they ended up in court, basically. So we had been operating under this lower court ruling from late September, where there was a ruling by Judge William Conley that would have granted a 6-day extension for ballots to be received in clerk's office to accommodate the influx of absentee ballots that we're seeing in Wisconsin as people look to, you know, vote remotely because of COVID-19. That ruling was basically, I mean, it was blocked by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, with the 2-justice majority in that case saying the reason that they blocked it is that it came too close to Election Day. It's kind of loosely defined on what too close is. In fact, it's not really not defined, but the Supreme Court has cautioned against it. And so you have appeals courts who will look to that guidance. And in that case, they did hear and said that that ruling came too close. So they want to leave the deadlines as they were.
We have Liz, who called from Heartland, couldn't stay with us. Liz wants to know, with absentee voting, what is the reasoning that the tabulation on votes can't be started earlier than Election Day morning? Why is that?
It's a state law. I mean, it's just the way that we operate here. And it's something that could be changed, but it's, you know, it has not been changed in Wisconsin. Other states have changed it. We have not. And so that is going to create, I'll tell you, like a potentially interesting, we'll use like the overused word here, but situation on Election Day, where because there's so many absentee ballots, especially in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett last week called it insane that his city can't start counting absentee ballots until the morning of Election Day.
Yeah, we don't know how the rest of America is going to go in terms of counting votes that night, but it's a pretty good chance that you're not going to know the final vote, at least in Wisconsin's race for those 10 electoral votes and everything else until you know, November 4th.
So looking at the one judge, Judge Rovner, who gave a dissenting opinion, what did this judge say?
Yeah, I should mention all of these judges were appointed by Republican presidents. So you had Judge Frank Easterbrook, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, Amy St. Eve, appointed by Donald Trump. Then you had Alana Rovner, who was, and I said appointed, I meant nominated by President George H.W. Bush. And she wrote, you know, a really scathing dissent that kind of took swipes at both the majority opinion and the Wisconsin state legislature. So she said, this is a quote from Judge Rovner, "The inevitable result of the court's decision today will be that many thousands of Wisconsin citizens will lose their right to vote despite doing everything they reasonably can to exercise it." She wanted to say, this is a travesty. And that was one of many, I guess, quotable sections in the Judge Rovner dissent, who was really critical of the majority and the legislature for kind of downplaying the severity of the pandemic. And also, she said there's really no harm done in granting this 6-day extension for absentee ballots to be received. It's not like, you know, a last minute change to election laws that changes what voters are supposed to do. This changes how ballots are, you know, the amount of time that they're given to be counted, not when they're cast.
So is there an appeal ruling here? I mean, do you think that this will be the end of it?
There's two things that Democrats could do because they were the ones that wanted this extension. Republicans were the ones, and specifically in this case, Republican state legislators were the ones who specifically fought this extension. Democrats could, if they want, appeal to the full Seventh Circuit. So instead of just going through this three-judge panel here, they could say, hey, all the judges that are on the Seventh Circuit, we'd like to appeal to you. They could also appeal to the United States Supreme Court. But so far, they haven't done either of those things. Just, you know, when I reached out to the State Democratic Party last week, you know, they didn't immediately respond. And I didn't see a lot of Democrats making grand public statements that they're going to appeal and win this thing. So they could, or they could just kind of like look at the landscape of what's in front of them and, you know, in the makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they could go with this ruling. So right now they haven't appealed, but those would be their options.
We're talking with Sean Johnson. If you're just joining us, he is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and we're getting up to speed on this Monday on the latest political developments, including the election. Are you voting by mail? Are you voting absentee? Did you receive your ballot, or do you plan on voting in person? How has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your community? How do you want lawmakers to respond? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Carol, who's joining us from Duluth this morning. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that from an out-of-stater perspective, it seems like your legislature and your Supreme Court, excuse me, is just happy to let Wisconsinites die, and they won't do a thing because they won't allow your governor to do anything to try to curb the spread of COVID-19. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Sean, you know, Carol's saying that Governor Evers is hamstrung here. What have you seen?
Well, I mean, Governor Evers and, you know, your state government as a Wisconsinite is not like working harmoniously in this time of crisis, let's say. So the governor has, of course, proposed the most sweeping measures to deal with COVID-19 this year. Republican legislators have said, you know, you need to talk to us before you do that, and we need to come up with something that we can all agree to. We don't know exactly what Republican legislators would agree to, because they've largely been in the position of criticizing what the governor has put out instead of introducing their own ideas. We do know that they, you know, many, if not most Republican legislators, I don't know the number, but the most outspoken Republican legislators are against what the governor has done in terms of the, you know, the gathering restrictions. And then you have a lot of Republican legislators who are very outspoken against the concept of a mask mandate. Whether or not they're okay with masks, they're opposed to the mask requirement, although, you know, polling suggests that remains very popular in Wisconsin. About 72% of voters in the latest Marquette poll support the mask mandate.
Is there any movement from the Joint Rulemaking Committee? And, you know, State Senator Noss said they would meet. Is there any movement in that direction?
So that committee has a meeting scheduled for today, I believe. And procedurally, I don't know exactly how that's going to go.
Okay.
I think that the committee is going to assert itself and the legislature's authority in some way. And at that point, you know, if it's in conflict with the governor, you know, if the committee says procedurally, governor, you need to submit this as a rule through the legislature, and the governor's administration, Secretary Andrea Palm from the DHS, says, no, under the law, I don't, it could tee up that could be the grounds for some kind of a lawsuit. You know, the legislature could then say, hey, we've done what we can, and it's our constitutional right to do this. And the governor, you know, would then have to fight that off in court potentially. I don't know, but I do know that right now the Rules Committee, which would deal with this stuff, is scheduled to hold a meeting today. So just procedurally, what steps they take, I'm not sure.
All right. And whether they would meet subsequently, and the rulemaking process can be quite long.
It can be cumbersome, yes. Even if everybody's on the same page, it takes time. So, you know, right now, when you have a surge, the surge of COVID-19 cases does not match up with the timeline for administrative rulemaking.
Sean, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. He co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf fielding your questions about the general election. What questions do you have about the status of poll workers and the ballot box? We're at 800-642-1234. The State Capitol Report continues with Wisconsin's Chief Election Officer right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick heads up here on programming. The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to start hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett this morning at 8. And you can hear live NPR coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio's NPR News and Music Network and at WPR.org starting at 8. Right now, we have Wisconsin's Chief Election Officer on the line. Wisconsin has 1,850 municipal clerks. Have you made a plan to vote? Will you be voting by mail or early or in person on Election Day? Are you volunteering at the polls? Bring your questions, 800-642-1234. Megan Wolf is Administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Always good to be here.
Well, let's start with absentee voting. With the appeals court ruled, absentee ballots can only be counted if returned by Election Day. What should voters bear in mind with the ongoing litigation?
Well, great question. So if you have an absentee ballot or you're requesting an absentee ballot be sent to you by mail, again, time is really of the essence. Make sure that you're getting that back in time to be counted. So all absentee ballots have to be received by 8 p.m. on Election Day. So that means it has to be in the hand of your local election official by 8 p.m. on Election Day. And the USPS does say that it can take up to a week for you to receive your ballot by mail, and it can take up to a week for that ballot to be returned. And so, again, please plan for that if you're planning to vote absentee by mail. And also, you know, contact your local election official if you're running out of time to get that ballot back to find out about your other options to return your ballot, be it in person to your clerk, to their office, to your polls on Election Day, or if you're in a jurisdiction that has central count for absentee, you may need to bring that to the central count location. But your local election official is the best place for that information, as is the myvote.wi.gov website.
You've been in touch, I'm sure, with clerks almost continually. Are there enough poll workers?
You know, we're seeing in some communities that they've been able to find enough poll workers. They've been able to find a reserve. But then we're seeing in other communities that it's more difficult. We do hope to, quote unquote, finalize the numbers in terms of the needs we're seeing in communities this week. We're actually going to be posting the needs on our myvote.wi.gov website. So if you go to My Vote and you click on Become a Poll Worker, you're going to see a list of communities that have a need for poll workers. And you're also going to see how to get in contact with those local election officials to let them know that you're able to help and you're able to serve. We've been telling our local election officials, and I'm sure they're aware because they're all election professionals, but they're going to need more poll workers than they've ever needed before. And that's because not only are they running Election Day, where they're helping those voters that come in the door and vote on Election Day, they're also processing on Election Day more absentee ballots than ever before. And so they're going to need more poll workers than ever before to do those two things at once, in addition to having a backup pool. It's not enough just to have enough poll workers to open the door. You need enough in the event of an emergency, in the event that somebody's unable to serve. And so, again, we encourage people to reach out to those local election officials, because they're not just building a list of poll workers, they're building a list of backups. They're making sure that their contingency plans are ready to go in the event that somebody can't serve.
You've said it takes about 30,000 poll workers to run this general election. How close are you to that number?
Well, each municipality recruits those poll workers, right? We don't do that at the state. So each one of the 1,850 is recruiting, is also putting together that backup list and that contingency plan. So we don't have a running number, because it can change every day based on the local election officials' needs. But we're going to do whatever we can to help augment their voice, right, to make sure that if they are expressing a need, that we can put those numbers out so that we can put that call out to Wisconsinites to help step up. But as of right now, also I should mention that the law does say for most roles, a poll worker does need to be a resident of the county where they're going to be serving. But there are also other roles, things like a greeter, helping with sanitation at the polling place, where you don't have to be a county resident, that you do have to be an eligible elector, but you don't have to be a county resident. So even if you're in a county where they're saying they have enough poll workers, I would still say reach out to your clerk, reach out to those surrounding communities. And if you're able to serve and you're able to travel a little bit, I'm sure they could really use the assistance in some of those other places.
We're talking with Megan Wolf, who is administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We're talking about the general election and the voting procedures, with your questions as well at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Joni joining us from Watertown this morning. Hi, Joni.
Hi. I'm very concerned about having enough poll workers on election day to count all these ballots that come in. And if we can't cross over to other counties that really need our help doing just that, then we're in big trouble.
Joni, thanks. Megan Wolf, what would you say to that? I know even last week, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett called it insane that his city can't start counting absentee ballots until the morning of Election Day.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this is probably a good juncture to mention, too, that, you know, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, we're a state agency, right? We don't make the laws. We can't change the laws. We can't change the deadlines. So all those things are written into state law. And so we have to work within those parameters. We can't change the law. And so we have to work within those parameters. So, again, there are some, I don't want to say exceptions, but there are some roles that people that live outside of a county can still serve as poll workers, right? So really important roles, like helping to make sure that poll workers are at the right place, serving as a greeter, helping with sanitation, wiping down everything between voters. Those are all roles where you don't have to be a county resident. So we can't change the law, but we can figure out how to work within the law to make sure all of our communities have what they need. So again, if you go to become a poll worker on myvote.wi.gov, you're going to see that information about how to contact those clerks and let them know you're interested, because we do have to operate within the parameters of the law. And then in terms of counting ballots, again, that's prescribed in the law. So the law says that absentee ballots cannot be fed through the tabulator until the polls open. And the reason for that is counting ballots is a public process, right? It's part of Election Day. So just like a voter that shows up at the polls on Election Day, absentee ballots are counted in much the same way. The poll worker has to declare the voter's name and their address publicly. It has to be observable in case there's a challenge to the process. And so, again, we can't change the law, but we can make sure that we've got enough poll workers to be able to operate within the law on Election Day and make sure we have the resources we need.
Let's look at the number of locations, because April's primary, we saw those long lines in Milwaukee, other cities, Green Bay. You know, in this public health crisis, do you have enough poll places open?
Well, again, that's established by each of the 1,850 municipalities. So every city, town, and village by law establishes those polling places, recruits and trains poll workers. And so they all make those decisions along with their governing body. What we have done is we've pulled a list of the established polling places from our municipalities. So we have a database that powers the myvote.wi.gov website, and we can pull lists of polling places and compare them to previous years. And what we're seeing is that they have the same number of polling places as we've had in other general elections. So we're not seeing any sort of reduction in terms of the number of polling places in our jurisdiction.
Okay.
But again, each community, you know, your governing body is the one responsible for making those decisions and where your voice can be heard on that.
Let's take another call now. Mark joining us from Bloomer this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning, friends. So I work in hospice care, and one of the things my coworkers and I do is, because a lot of our patients are newly laid up, we help them to get their absentee ballot, make sure they're registered to vote and that they can vote absentee. What happens if they die before the election? What happens to their vote?
Megan, go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks so much for the question and for the work that you do. So the law does say that each, again, municipal clerk, so our whole system is really municipal-based here in Wisconsin, that each of the clerks, based on reliable information, and that can either come from the statewide database where we get records from vital records about voters who are deceased, or the local election officials may get information from either community members, from obituaries, from other sources. They do, if a voter has cast an absentee ballot, they do keep those lists current, right? And so if they see information coming through either through the state database or through local sources that someone has been deceased, then that ballot is not counted.
Mark, thank you for the call. Megan, the Elections Commission received $7.3 million in aid to support elections held during the pandemic. How has this money been spent?
Yeah, so almost $5 million went to our local election officials in terms of grants. So we did sub-grants for each of the 1,850 local election officials was eligible to apply for one of those. It involved a base grant and then a per-registered voter amount that they received as well. And they can use that to offset their costs related to COVID. So they can use it to purchase postage, envelopes. Perhaps they need to increase the number of hours that their local election official works or pay their poll workers a higher wage to retain them. All of those are things that they could use those sub-grant funds towards. On the state side, we also use those funds for things like the informational mailer that we sent to 2.6 million voters, letting them know about their options for voting and giving them an absentee ballot request form and return envelope if they prefer to do it by paper rather than on My Vote. And we also had to make significant changes to our technology. So our statewide voter registration database, incorporating tracking features and intelligent mail barcodes. So all of those funds have been expended and been sent out to our communities at this point.
We have Wisconsin's Chief Election Officer, Megan Wolf, fielding your questions 22 days before Election Day. Are you looking for ballot drop-off information? Are you tracking your ballot online? Would you like to know more about polling location, COVID-19 precautions? What questions do you have about voter ID? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Megan Wolf here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is here, checking in with her 22 days until the general election. As she said, it takes more than 30,000 poll workers to execute this election. We're getting a status update on how clerks are preparing. So you mentioned the intelligent mail barcode. How are you working with the Postal Service at this time?
So we have meetings every week with the U.S. Postal Service, with our regional and our local folks, to keep a pulse on any issues happening locally, things that are reported to us, and also just making sure that, you know, things are working as anticipated, that we have a communication channel in the event that something changes because of litigation and the deadlines change. So I think probably the biggest part of our coordination together is communication and making sure that we have a well-established lines for communicating in the event that there is an issue or in the event that there is a change and we need to get it to both of our local offices, both the election officials and the local postal branches.
Yeah, and a report last May detailed how 1,600 ballots for the Appleton and Oshkosh areas were found at a mail processing center the day after the election. How did mail delays affect April's election, and what were lessons learned there?
So I think the biggest thing that we learned from April is, you know, again, we have to focus our resources in elections on the things that we can control. And the things that we can control is learning information about those ballots as soon as we can so that we can help the voter in the event that there is some kind of issue. And so, for example, issues that might have been seen in April, we didn't yet have intelligent mail barcodes. And we're able to now use that, and we used that for August, and we'll use it again for November, to not only track ballots and to have accountability throughout the process, transparency for voters throughout the process to understand where their ballot is, we can also do things behind the scenes to make sure that nothing looks unusual. So we can run reports on a regular basis to make sure that all the ballots around the state are meeting the milestones that they should. And in the event that there is an issue, we'd be able to identify that, and we'd be able to work with the voters to make sure that they get a ballot in time to still be counted. And so I think those are huge benefits, not only for the voters to have eyes on the process, for the clerks to have eyes on the process, but for us to also be able to run those additional data quality checks to make sure that if there is a problem, that we'd be able to remedy it and get the voter ballot in time.
Let's take another call now. Mark is with us from Elmira this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Will the polling places that are not adequately staffed be publicized? And does a volunteer need to live in that particular district? And how much time, lead time is required to get adequately trained on procedures?
Great questions. Megan.
Yeah, thanks so much. So in terms of residency, so for some roles, you just have to be a resident of the county, not the municipality, not that specific ward, just of the county. And so if you live in a municipality where perhaps they have enough poll workers, I would say, you know, please still reach out to those surrounding communities because you can serve in all the roles there too. And then there are also roles for any Wisconsinite. So let's say that you're in a county where they don't need additional assistance. You can, again, still help in those other important roles, like making sure that voters are at the correct polling place, helping with sanitation. Those are all things that you just have to be a Wisconsin resident for. And we're going to be posting the municipalities that have a need on the My Vote Wisconsin website. Now, each of the 1,850 localities is not required to provide this information to us, but we're asking them for it so that we can help publicize their need. And so if you go to myvote.wi.gov and you click on Become a Poll Worker, this week those local election officials are going to be finalizing those numbers in terms of needs that they have, and we'll be posting them there so you can see what communities still have a need for poll workers, and you can contact those clerks to express your interest.
How long does it take to get trained up for these various roles?
Yeah, so each of the local election officials runs their own training. So the law says that each of those 1,850 are responsible for conducting training of their local election officials. So some of them have a training schedule that they hope that people are able to work through, and it depends on the community when that's held. That being said, we've also developed online training at the state. And so for many of our communities, especially if they're recruiting poll workers still or getting that reserve pool ahead of Election Day, they'll utilize our online training and they'll be able to send that to you so that you can complete it on your own time so that you're ready in the event that you're needed on Election Day. So contacting your local election official is the first thing to do because they'll tell you exactly what their protocol is for the community, but also know that we have some online training available so that we're able to help those local election officials train people in short order, especially in those situations where they're recruiting or on onboarding people in the days or the weeks before the election after the in-person training might have already been completed.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Megan Wolf, who is administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We're looking at the details for the upcoming November election and your questions as well. Let's bring in Peter in Oshkosh. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I sent in my absentee ballot. I went to myvote.org, which is great, and found that it's already been received by the clerk. But what I'm wondering is, in more granular detail, what happens with that absentee ballot? Do they feed it into a machine like the other ballots? Do they need, like, two people to verify things? Or does it have to be, like, a Democrat and Republican? I'm just wondering what, you know, is that process, and how much might that slow down processing? Can they just fill in when they have a slow time, and then they're just doing the absentee ballots, or are there people in a back room doing
them? Sure. Peter, thank you. Walk us through it, Megan.
Sure. So right on that myvote.wi.gov website, we also have a section on the homepage that says Learn How to Vote Absentee and Absentee Voting. If you click on there, we actually have a whole series of videos, fact sheets that explain that process as well. So I encourage folks to also take a look at that. But absentee voting really does happen almost just like as if the voter was there on election day. So absentee ballots are sent to your polling place in most communities. So they're sent to your polling place, and it's part of the public process. When an absentee ballot is counted, and they can't open those ballots and start counting them until 7 a.m. on election day when the polls open. And each ballot first is examined by two election inspectors, and depending on who makes up the poll workers at that polling place, it may be a representative from each party if that's available there. They're going to examine the certificate to make sure it's sufficient, to make sure that the voter has signed the certificate, to make sure that their witness has signed and that the witness has an address on it. Once that happens, they're going to be declaring the voter's name and their address, just like as if they were there at the polls on election day, part of that public process in case there's a challenge. And then those ballots are fed through the tabulator, the same tabulator that you would use if you were at the polls on election day to vote. And it's added in, it's anonymized along with all the other ballots as part of the tally. There are about 30 communities that also use what we call central count, and that's where instead of the ballots going to each individual polling place, they have a big central facility where all those ballots are sent to be tabulated, processed, and counted. It's also public, right? So you can come in and observe. There's also representation from both parties as part of that counting process at the tabulators. And so, the biggest thing with absentee ballots is, again, it's a public process. There are no dark rooms. There are no closed doors where those ballots are kept and where those ballots are counted. All of the counting of absentee ballots happens publicly in every single community around the state.
Megan, will the state's National Guard be deployed to help at polling places around the state? What's the status there?
Yeah, so, we can't, as an agency, deploy the National Guard. That's something that happens through the governor's office and order. At this point, we continue to have a good partnership with them to make sure that they're aware of the status of communities that have a need for poll workers, but that order has not yet been given. And we're focusing our efforts on recruiting poll workers, from the civilian population. And that's where the first efforts are going to be made is to recruit from, the pool of Wisconsinites that are able to serve in each of our communities. So we continue to work with them as part of a partnership, but that's not something that we're hoping that we have to utilize at this point.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Megan Wolf is administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Just ahead, we discuss managing your diabetes amid the pandemic, and researchers look at whether the coronavirus could trigger the onset of diabetes in people with no history of the disease. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.